B-Pod Studios.
Fred, hello!
Hey, guys.
Hello!
Hey, I don't think you're supposed to be taking walks from the beach.
Ba-do-zap, ba-do-zap.
Opinions is a rectum.
Let's go, Red Sox!
Season four, your mom's a whore. Pizza time!
Hear me like a bow.
Wall dick, well, yeah!
She made out with my dad.
I have four recliners, he has three.
Hello! Welcome to the show!
So, it's all good, baby.
I could say Supercharge here with Flash Gordon kind of thing.
So, song is wings. Hey, Zoe, ready to seal the seven seas?
Sarge, sub-zo.
It's all good, baby.
Everybody, good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich radio program, Town Fair Tires Studios. You can watch us on Twitch at twitch.tv or the Twitch app. Something to get you in the spirit of the season with the Sarge Jaws theme.
Why is it whenever I hear of a shark attack of some sort, and there have been shark sightings all over the place, I now hear Sarge's voice in my head doing the Jaws theme?
Because he is the voice. If you translate what sharks are thinking, it is exactly that.
They do kind of have a shark here.
Right. And they do kind of have Sarge eyes, the way he looks kind of dead-eyed into the camera.
And plus, they're never sleep. They only half their brain sleeps at a time, I believe. And they're always on the prowl. They're always hunting. So I think that's why you've done your research, your marine biology research, and that's what you've come to find.
If you want to know sharks, study Sarge. And I'm sure that there's probably a shark out there who brings fake WWE belts to the beach every once in a while just to show off to people.
Well, they have their own things, you know. They have their own trophies and things of that nature that they buy and take around.
Have you ever seen a shark in the wild? This is something that if you read these stories, you think that anybody who's basically going to the Cape has just seen sharks everywhere. I mean, it's like there's the, right where the arm is, Truro, in that area. I mean, how many shark sightings are there a year in the summer? It seems like almost every other day the beach seems to be closed down. So I've never seen one. I've heard of one. A dead whale carcass once washed up on a beach I was swimming in, which was nice because it was about 15 feet from me and I didn't even realize it.
No, I have never seen sharks. I've had dolphins. If you go to Hilton Head, the fish captains, if you're going out fishing, can get the dolphins to follow the boat.
Yeah.
So I've had that. I have put it up on Instagram, as a matter of fact. It was a beautiful moment. There were two or three or four dolphins swimming in the wake and playing and crossing over each other. One time I was boogie boarding when I was a kid in Hilton Head, and a dolphin came close enough where I could touch it. Mm. But those are friendly creatures. I've only been to the Cape twice in my life, in the summer. I've been there many, many times for canceled baseball games, but I've only been to the Cape in the summer to travel twice, and it hasn't been for over a decade.
Yeah,
except for Newport, I've stopped traveling locally. I don't know why, but I haven't been to Martha's Vineyard in years. I've been to Nantucket once in my life. So I've never in these shark-infested waters. In Key West, when in the Keys, in Marathon, when I go fishing, I don't see the sharks. So
it's weird.
You're talking about great whites. You're talking about, like, major sharks.
Well, I'm talking about I guess. Are those
because
the
I've
ones
caught,
that...
if you go to my Instagram, I've caught many, many sharks.
Oh, yeah. I've seen, those smaller, are those tiger sharks that you usually catch? I've seen people pull those out of the water, I believe.
I don't know what they're called. I have it written down somewhere, but No, the great whites. I've never been in an area where there was any talk of them. That's what it's weird, because I thought with the warm weather in the Cape that that would hurt the retail market, but apparently it is not at all. Apparently the retail market or the real estate market is completely bananas out there.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, but you have to understand, I mean, it's not like the beaches aren't really for swimming. You know, the beaches are for enjoying. You sit on them and you get your feet wet, and there's not a lot of swimming. Now, on Nantucket, there's a decent amount because the whole thing used to be there were never any shark sightings because something about the jet stream. And but recently, in like the last 5 years, it's been about one or two, you know, every single year. And they have it's a little freaky just how you're seeing. I don't know if it's global warming or what, but everything's changing. And now the sharks are migrating to places where they're not. There's way more sharks now in the Cape where there used to be. I mean, if you've ever stayed in like Chatham, you know, right at the corner of the Elbow, you hear the seals barking in the morning. Instead of like, you know, the rooster crowing to wake you up, mm-hmm. it's seals just off of the beach itself on like a little jetty or some sort of sandbar. And there are so many of them that you can hear them. They're so loud, they'll wake you up in the morning. And that is where the sharks feast, right around there.
Well, I'm telling you, it is the warming. It's the warming of the water. It brings the seals in, and the seals are the food for the sharks.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how it goes down. I've also had manatees. I've been in the water where manatees are, where they just like are swimming around, and those are huge.
Mm.
But they're just dirty and gross.
Mm.
Like, is all a manatee is.
If you accidentally
it's got mud and crap on it.
If you accidentally even sneeze on a manatee, you could go to jail for a lot. Like, those things are wildly protected. I mean, I've heard of. Like, I mean, there's been, oh gosh, I've heard of stories of friends of mine who live in Florida, and if you get your boat even anywhere near it where it could cause any sort of damage, like you could actually go to jail for a while if you do.
Well, they all have these like boat marks on them.
Yeah,
like, you can tell they all have like the rudder marks on them, and I don't think
they're so
it's
slow to move. Yeah,
and I don't think it's people deliberately doing it.
No,
but yeah, when we in February we were in Florida. And there were these manatees all over the place. And so you got, like, a real good look at them. And, yeah, they had all, like, because their skin's, like, 10 feet deep, you know, like,
thick. Yeah.
And they all have those, like, rudder marks in them. Mm-hmm. So, but they're gross. I don't know. I have all the things to protect.
See, I love manatees. I think they look like big fat dogs in the water. They just kind of roll around in the thing.
I got no problem with the manatee. I'm not looking to kill it or anything.
I love them.
Aesthetically pleasing.
Like, I can't see a manatee and not go, that kind of rules. They're just like fat and roll around the water.
we looked at them and stuff, but have you ever seen
about
them take
half
a dump?
My relatives when I was growing up. Jesus.
I don't think I've ever seen a manatee take a dump. I've never done that.
So we stayed.
That'd be kind of funny. Does it just still kind of roll as it's taking a dump?
So we stayed at a resort where they all are in the dock area, right? So, mm-hmm. and these things, they weigh like a ton.
Yeah.
And I mean, it would be like, yes, to like jump in the water there because it is the toilet of the manatee.
Sure. Yeah, it is. I'm sure it's a quite a decent amount of product that is produced from a manatee, I would think, as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think they only eat vegetables. Like, I think they only eat the vegetation of the sea.
A lot of roughage.
They don't move. They don't move. And so if something weighs a ton, I don't know. They were grossing me out after a little while. I mean, I didn't – no desire to kill one. No desire to harm one. Just kind of gross. Just, you know, sitting there grossing me out a little bit. That's all.
Well, today is the day that, speaking of water animals, I venture down to South Carolina to take care. I have to take care of my mom. She's got, like, knee surgery and stuff. And thankfully, it seems to be going a little better than the first one did, which was just a mess. It was an absolute mess. But where she lives is whenever you see those videos that somebody takes of some sort of alligator that looks like it's a dinosaur, it's from right around the neighborhood where she is. As a matter of fact, there was a video that went viral, I think it was a year ago. It was this one alligator walking across a golf course, and it looked like, I mean, the size of a Cadillac. It was absolutely enormous. That was maybe, a half mile from where my mom lives. Mm. And when you pull into her neighborhood, she lives in one of those, you know, kind of, not like old folks, but like.
I know exactly where she lives.
Yeah, yeah.
I know the area.
Yeah, it's like the villages. You hear about it. It's like the 55 and older, and it's all the old people, you know.
It's between Hilton Head and Savannah, right?
It's over in that area.
Yeah, yeah.
So she lives over in that area, and when you pull into this mega complex, it's like mega complex of filled with, you know, older people. There's just lake after lake after lake after lake as you're driving there, and every lake you pass by this time of year, you'll see something that you think is just like a log sitting there, and then you'll realize, oh, that sucker's got eyes. That's an alligator. They are everywhere, and they're quiet, and they rest, and they just watch you. And I don't know if they chose that area because they know there's a bunch of slow people that are good for the eating, but man, it is just – I see like everyone – like old ladies walking their dogs, and I'm like, neither has a chance.
All the alligator chat boards.
Oh, yeah. Like they told each other.
Where the old people are.
Right. They told each other. It's like, all right, where would be the most advantageous place on earth? Earth, where we could eat anything we want.
Let's go there, Phil.
Let's go where the slow old people are who all have dogs.
I have to request something from you. You need to go into the Jimmy Buffett retirement community.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the Margaritaville one, which is near there. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They do have one. Yeah, and you know what? Apparently
it's enormous.
It's packed. Like, I guess that they sold out or something like that.
Yeah, it's enormous. I need to know what's doing over there. Like, how it's Jimmy Buffett. Like how a whole retirement community could be a guy. A
lot of pastel colors with parrots on the wall type of thing.
I get that, but like think about this. Like, I want to spend the rest of my life living a guy.
Yeah. His philosophy,
very sad.
His lifestyle.
That's true. Yeah, like I got to see, because I'm always going to the airport when I pass it, so I don't have time to screw around.
Uh-huh.
But I like always. They probably wouldn't let you in. I bet I could
look around and just say, "Hey, I'm looking for a place to put my mom. You know, is there any way I could like do a little self tour? Just let me walk around and just get a basic idea, and I could bring her." I could talk myself into being able to walk around Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville retirement home.
Because if you think about it, it would be like just a place where people were drunk all day.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. And, you know, I don't care if it's 12:30, it's 5 o'clock somewhere. And so, like, you know, like all the clocks are stuck at 5 o'clock, like in the restaurants and everything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I want you to go at like 10 in the morning and just tell me if like everyone's just at a bar, just like,
if it's just a bunch of drunk old people.
Yeah, just like 5 o'clock somewhere.
Well, I told you about the time that I had a flight that I thought was going to get stuck in New York City. And I was going to have to spend the night, and I was looking at places in like Times Square or whatever, or, you know, any place that I could just for the night stay that was near one of the train stations. And there is a Times Square Jimmy Buffett hotel.
Yes.
Really?
I didn't know that.
He's talked about it on the air.
Yeah.
He's talked about it on the air before.
I was this close to staying there, ironically, because first of all, it wasn't that expensive, but like the lobby you walk in, it's like this giant flip-flop. Whoa, get ready. You are no longer in the city. You're at like a beachside paradise.
It makes no sense to me.
And like all of the pillows on the bed have like lines from Buffett songs, like changes in attitude on one pillow, and then the next one next to it, changes in latitude.
Yeah, look out the window. Oh, wow, a million people just packed together. This is really flip-flopping weather. Snowstorm, and there's 20,000 people taking a picture of the sunset.
That dude is brilliant. He's brilliant. For him opening up these retirement communities, I mean, that is, you want to talk about real estate. I hear it's almost like $350,000 to $400,000 a pop for each one of the condos that's in this deal. So just, I mean, and he's probably got hundreds in this place.
Oh,
I mean,
and he's got other ones too. I remember when he opened up his first store, because it was in Key West.
Mm-hmm.
And that, so it, when I was in college,
yeah.
So in my lifetime, in my adulthood, he has built all of this. Like, it's, so it's been what? It's been 20 years. Like, in like the last like 20 some odd years,
yeah.
He has built this entire thing, which is absolutely crazy.
Oh my God.
I remember laughing. We were like, Jimmy Buffett golf balls. Like, who's who's going to buy this crap? Like, Jimmy Buffett, like, and his name was just on stuff. And we're like, this is so stupid. We're like, what's a Jimmy Buffett store? Like, it's just garbage with his name on it.
He has different retirement locations. Four different, like, ones that are all, and apparently more being built. And from what I've heard, it's like the hottest club in town. Like, it's tough to actually get one of these because, you know, all these old folks, they want to stay amongst Buffett fans. They want to be amongst their own. And there's even one that's really depressing because it's right by Disney World. Because, you know, like the old people are like, well, you know, because the kids never visit me. I can put it right next to Disney. And then the kids got to show up and hang out in that depressing spot where Jimmy Buffett starts being played the
whole
time.
What is this? Why do I have to listen to this music all the time?
I want to go see Mickey.
Crash would be so happy there.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's a awesomely huge market for this. I mean, not only just, of course, you know, the people who go to his shows, but people like Crash who never want to let the party die. Life's a beach, man, and this is where they're going to retire. And, you know, why the hell not? Hell, if my mom said she wanted to be there, I was like, sure. I mean, at least it seems like there's something going on the shuffleball court every night. You know, there's some sort of, you know, different, you know, drinker or whatever you're going to be able to have access to in a party. You know, there's Lay's.
I mean, the swinging has got to be out of control.
I know. Is there a pineapple community there? I mean,
Well, John, I told you that, like, so this is right next to where my mom lives in another community.
Right.
And in my mom's community, I told you that's where I learned about the upside down pineapple thing and, you know, where the old folks are big into swinging. And if it's big where my mom is, it is out of, like, it's in the next universe over at Margaritaville. I guarantee you.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think you only have to be 55. John, how old are you?
I'm 54.
1 year away from Buffett Paradise. I can't wait.
I mean, Jess is awesome. How many days do I have left? This is fantastic.
Because I believe they're 55 and
days.
And can you imagine if you're a single 55-year-old dude and you move into the Buffett-like world?
You're the young buck.
Oh, I mean, you are like the steed. You are the you are there to mate. That
John,
is it.
John could just plow his way through Hilton Head.
Relive the college Buford. Years I always wanted.
That's right.
Be perfect.
He plow his way through Buford. All right, Rich. So much sports. So much sports.
Yeah, I mean, what a cruddy way to end a cruddy first half of the season for the Red Sox. We will talk about Chris Sale's injury and what that means for them now.
The good thing about the injury is you could see it, so there was no speculation.
You absolutely could see it.
All right, we will have that for you coming right up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Recapping what you missed is Country Rich.
What happened last night?
Well, a cruddy first half of the season ends in the cruddiest way possible.
Not running here. Oh, that ricochets off Chris Sale. That nails him. It's off into right field. And here comes the run in, and Chris Sale is walking off the diamond.
He says he's done. Oh, no.
Oh, my.
Dang.
Right down the tunnel. Yankees lead it 3-0.
That's just heartbreaking right there. All that hard work to get back, and just he knew right away.
Yep, he walked off the field with his hand held in front of his face, his pinky mangled for all to see, and only his second start from returning from a broken bone. Chris Sale has broken another one, this time on his pitching hand. All this during Game 2 of the Yankees' back-to-back beatdowns as they lose 3-2. As for the plays that didn't involve Chris Sale's broken finger.
Mm-hmm. Swing that one, golfed here by LeCastro, a deep shot out to left center field. Jackie watching it, and it is into the bullpen. It's a two-run homer. So it's the Yankees in a runaway. LeCastro, his third hit today, makes it 11-2 New York.
Yeah, another embarrassment as the Yankee pitchers were able to strike out 16 and walk none yesterday. And just to paint a picture of how dead at the plate the players have been, Franchi Cordero, how about him? 0 for 16 with 15 strikeouts. How is that even possible?
On the road trip.
He's not a good baseball player.
No, he's one for his last 22 with 18 strikeouts overall. No. And
they're pinch hitting for first baseman. It's really something.
Yeah, no, it. Who do you put out there, Cordero or Dahlbeck, who's just as bad? I mean, they punted on first base this year. It's amazing.
They could have had Rizzo. But how are you going to contain Matt Carpenter, John, is the real question. I'm like, Matt Carpenter still plays baseball?
You know what's amazing? Usually when the Cardinals give up on someone, that's it. It's over. You know, when, for instance...
They gave him all the...
The Cardinals are excellent talent evaluators. Take a look at that trade, the Joe Kelly trade for John Lackey here. I mean, they gave up on Alan Craig, who was a good player for St. Louis for many years. He came here. He was terrible. When St. Louis gives up on someone, they're done. And somehow this didn't happen to Matt Carpenter. It's amazing.
For this series.
He's been really, really good ever since the Yankees got him.
Which has been about two weeks.
I know that. But
anyway, Rich, so Matt Carpenter was a guy that the Cardinals kept around for too long.
Yeah.
And they finally just released him. And he comes out on the Yankees, and I mean, I don't know how much you paid attention this weekend, but he just dominated.
Yeah, he drove in seven runs Saturday night. Yeah. He had two homers. Yeah.
Two three-run home runs, yep.
Yep, I got to see. It's funny. I didn't watch any of the night they played well the first night, or at least the end of the game.
But I
saw a decent amount of the last two games.
The first night the Red Sox played really well. They had this lead. They bring in Tanner Houck, the closer, and he immediately gives up a run to tie the game, and the bases are loaded and nobody out, and somehow he got out of that one.
Yeah,
and then he loaded the bases again in the 10th, and somehow got out of that one. I mean, the Red Sox have so many holes on that roster. The fact that they're within shouting distance of a playoff spot is remarkable. If you look at the players they're running out there, they got about five or six guys on that roster who should not be in the majors. And three of them, after everyone gets healthy, will remain in the majors. Dahlbeck, Cordero, and Jackie Bradley. Those three guys aren't on a good major league roster. And yet they're out there getting regular at-bats for this team.
It's interesting, though. I mean, you know, there was obviously a lot of buildup of wins at the beginning of the season. But right now, they go into the break losers of 10 of the last 13. They are still 12-26 against AL East teams and have yet to win a series. Alex Cora talked about where this team stands at the break.
Oh, we got to be better, bottom line. You know, it doesn't matter if it's the Yankees or whoever. You know, we have to play better baseball. You know, the day started with ground ball to third. We throw the ball away. Seems like we didn't do enough this week as far as the baseball part of it, right? We struggle running bases defensively on the mound, you know. I mean, it was a tough week for us. And, you know, like Dan said earlier, before the game, it's a good time to reset, you know. Enjoy the All-Star break and be ready for Friday.
Well, as far as Chris Sale, he will have an expert look at his hand this morning to determine his return date. I've heard a best-case scenario is 6 weeks, but could also possibly be out for the season. Here is Sale afterwards on what happened.
Yeah, I mean, the one look at this finger, I knew it. I knew, like, immediately. That feeling of just kind of cold water rushing through your body when something like that happens. As soon as I hit the ground, I looked down, finger's gone. Sucks. What are you going
to
do?
Sale was then asked to pontificate as to whether he think he'll be able to pitch this season.
Are you optimistic of being able to pitch again this year?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a broken bone. I've been there, you know, 4 to 6 weeks. Getting active again, moving around a little bit, and then we'll see from there. I'll meet with the hand specialist either tonight or tomorrow in Boston. Go with what he says and see where we're at.
Okay. Best case scenario, he's not back until September 1st, right? I mean, that's where we are.
Yep.
The trade deadline is 2 weeks from tomorrow. Does this team buy or sell?
I mean, it's tough to sell when you're, you know, over 500, but you're also, what, only one, like, you're the fourth team in your division right now?
You're two games out of a playoff spot right now.
Okay.
So what are you selling?
Tell me. JD Martinez, maybe?
No, I'm not. I can't do that. I can't punt on the season. No.
Well, the thing is about baseball is everyone essentially is in it. You know what I mean? It's like even like, you know, the last team in this division, you know, the Orioles, they're still in it. It just that so many different teams can you know, are within a hair of making the playoffs.
Well, then that would be more incentive to sell because then the market might not be as robust and maybe you get more. But I just for economic reasons, I don't think I could sell right now.
Okay, a better way of putting it, Fred, and you're right because they are so close. Do you buy or do you stand pat?
They're going to make minor bullpen moves. I just think that they're going to just basically, you know, part with the dregs of their farm system and bring in some middle relief help.
Anything more minor leaguers?
Real quick, John. I'm sorry, John. I don't mind them selling. There's no way they can win. Like, there's no way they can win.
Correct.
And there's not even – I don't think they can even make much of a bang in the first rounds of the playoffs, even like in the wild card. Why not sell? I know that everyone's close, and it sure seems weird to do that in a team that's, you know, still kind of in it. But let's not fool ourselves. This team's doing nothing this postseason. Why wouldn't you sell?
Without Chris Sale – I mean, even with a healthy Chris Sale, you're really not sure what you're going to get in a couple of months. I mean, when it really matters. But without him until at least September 1st and probably longer, I mean, you don't know where you're going to be. I mean, I honestly don't think this is a playoff team. The roster, as I just said, certainly isn't good enough. And the bullpen is being wildly mismanaged. Tanner Houck should be your seventh inning guy. You should have that guy Schreiber in the eighth and have Whitlock be the closer. But they're never going to do that because they're sold on Whitlock being in the rotation as much as possible, especially now that Sale's out.
I don't know. You're spending a lot of money. You have a really good lineup. I just...
Well, you have a really good top part.
You have a really good top half of the lineup.
You have three really all-stars good. In a row, hitting 2, 3, and 4, but your leadoff hitter at the moment, Jarren Duran, is hitting under 150 against lefties. You can't play him half the time. And Kike Hernandez, you don't know when you're going to see him again. They just shut his rehab down. So, I mean, you really don't have a leadoff hitter. And the hitters behind those three in the middle of the order, just like last season, by the way, can, you know, come and go. I mean, you pour them all into a hat and pick out the lineup after four in the lineup. So, I mean, I really don't know where the optimism surrounding this team should be. I don't see a lot of sunshine here.
Would you want them to make the playoffs, or would you want them to acquire some capital, some minor league capital?
At this point, if you can get a good minor leaguer, I say you do it. I say you, and this is Bloom's mandate to restock the farm system. I think you have a good chance to do that here. And I agree with Rich. This team is not going anywhere in the playoffs.
Would you trade Bogarts?
I'd entertain offers for him at this point.
Yeah,
yes.
I mean,
you've already sent out the signal he's not coming back.
Yeah.
I'd entertain offers for him. Now, do I want him back? Yes, but it looks like the team doesn't. And if the team doesn't, then yes, at this point, you entertain trade offers for him because in 2 weeks, I have a feeling it's going to look a lot worse than it does now.
And as I mentioned, J.D. Martinez is somebody that you could probably get something okay for, especially a team trying to make this final push. I mean, the Xander Bogaerts one's interesting. Because I'm with John. It just seems like it's all – every message that's been thrown out there is showing that they're not going to keep him. So why not try to get some value right now and trade him if that is indeed part of your plan?
Who is the St. Louis kid they were rumored to be interested in?
Gorman, but there's no way that they trade him now for Gorman. Because I don't know if I'd trade Gorman for a because Gorman's playing now.
That's right. So, they called him up. That's true.
So I don't know if I would trade him. And he's playing well. And he's better defensively than they thought he'd be. So I don't know if I'd trade him straight up for Bogarts for, you know, 3 months of Bogarts.
I don't think fans would even be that angry. I mean, the Bogarts thing, obviously, people get pissed. But that's just ultimately because they traded him. But I don't think that they would be angry if they started selling off.
Well, you
I
have
think
not you... been listening to the station over the weekend. You have very, very angry people.
Well, they might be angry how they're playing, but right now it's better for the team. If you want this team to get better, then they're not going to do anything this postseason. You got to sell. You got to start thinking about it at least.
Get in the dance, baby. You can take you anywhere.
Yeah. tell me who the pitching is. Who's your number one starter?
Relax. Relax. Relax.
How about who in the American League East are you going to beat?
That's right. They start with Toronto right after the All-Star break. Awesome.
Listen, Toronto's no great shakes. All right. When we come back, Rich, what we discuss?
Oh, guess who is looking good on a diet and working out? Mac Jones finally speaks about his massive body transition. And ooh, he has gone from chunk to hunk.
All right. We'll have that for you in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Now, more Toucher and Rich.
I mean, look at us. We are just three intimidating sons of bitches.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, we're Toucher and Rich. Rich, you say Mac Jones is a little studly now?
Oh, matter of fact, I had a friend of mine. I was telling the guys this the other day who saw him this summer down in the Cape and came into his store and Popeye arms was the term that I heard used. They said he had been losing a lot of weight, working out. I tend to think that I guarantee you it's not even as much as workout regimen. Is that he just, somebody at the Patriots told him to stop eating crap and the pounds just fell off. And because he's a football player who does football player type of exercises, just underneath it was just a normal, like, kind of muscular kid. Like, it just seems, I don't know how you could play football at the University of Alabama, an intense program, and look as doughy as he was. His diet must have been absolute garbage. So I bet somebody just basically said, stop drinking the sodas, stop eating the ice cream, and then everything else is pretty much back to normal, and all of a sudden it just fell off. Because I know that, like, there was one time where I was drinking soda, and if you stop drinking soda, I think I might have lost 10 pounds instantly when I gave up that. And then there's just, if you give up, you know, just a slight bit of sugar, like no desserts, then you'll be surprised how much that falls up. But ironically, Mac Jones was doing an appearance for an ice cream company, giving away Hood ice cream, when he was asked about his new physique by Mr. Phil Perry. And here's what Mac Jones had to say.
I mean, I've definitely improved my diet, but, you know, after you work really hard, it's not bad to just sit down and eat some ice cream. So every once in a while, it's like a little cheat meal. But I got it from my dad. He eats ice cream all the time. So I always have a little bit of ice cream flavor that I want to get. And, you know, it's just all fun and games. So I'm just happy to be here. That was one of the things I wanted to improve. And I made significant strides in that area, fixing my body and feeling comfortable and feeling healthier and better. But, you know, it's at the end of the day, you're still a human and you want to, you know, eat what you want to eat, but you have to be disciplined as best you can. And ice cream, Hood ice cream is one way to do it. So that's what I do for my late night dessert. I feel better. I feel confident, and that's what's important. And I'm just going to try and go in there and do my thing and lead everybody and help us come together as a unit. So that's kind of what it's all about. And the offseason is a great time to sit back, you know, relax a little bit, but also try and make strides and where you want to make strides. So I feel like I've done that.
I mean, that's a man's, you know, my body is better because I didn't eat Hood ice cream. But you should eat Hood ice cream because I'm here with Hood ice cream. And right behind me is a giant Hood ice cream billboard that I'm standing in front of.
At what point do you think Phil Perry said, why did I come here? Like, I why am I here? To get the dumbest answer of all time.
He's just like, please finish the sentence so we can finish this up.
And I can ice cream.
Yeah.
And it's great. It's like,
my dad likes ice cream, and sometimes you want that ice cream flavor.
I just love that the whole topic everyone wanted to ask him about was his body transition. And, you know, the correct answer is I stopped eating ice cream. Mm-hmm. And now in front of him, except in his head, he's like, oh, I'm also being paid by this ice cream company, so I better not say that it's the worst thing in the world. So he's his own little personal endorsement hell yesterday when speaking to the press. But he does look good. He has lost a ton of weight. I don't know how much. He's gained a little bit of muscle, or unless that was just underneath all that fat. And he looks like an actual quarterback now, which is funny. That's the standard.
And the charisma that oozes off that kid.
there's like a Mac Jones flavor. It's called like Mac Jones Crunch. It must be vanilla because that's the way that it's when vanilla, he speaks.
It's vanilla on white. It's an ice cream sandwich with vanilla cake and vanilla sprinkles with vanilla ice cream.
just.
I don't know why I find that so funny.
It's just that vanilla.
Really good line.
Because it's the most boring flavor
to be vanilla.
Yeah, he's got to deal with Denny's. It's mashed potatoes on with mayo on white.
Well,
I mean, he is the Joe Namath of our times. Look out, ladies.
I mean, this is. I mean, light skin, fair hair. Yeah.
Yeah, he's got the mink coat. He's going to turn the NFL on its head.
But he did the gritty during the Pro Bowl. That's he's funky. Get down with the best of them.
A lot of fun.
Yeah,
he's a lot of fun. Yeah. I my dad liked ice cream, and you know that's where I get it from, like an ice cream. And sometimes he actually said sometimes you want that ice cream flavor.
Right, you just like lick it and then throw it away. It's, you know.
I just said, hey, Ma, I got a hankering for some ice cream flavor.
What is the most vanilla sound clip we can have? Do we have some Matchbox 20, like 3 a.m., and just that'll be Mac Jones's theme? Just like, give me, just what is the train. Most vanilla train or Matchbox 20? Or maybe Smooth by him and Santana together. That
we can insult these bands. Dan isn't here today, so we can insult these bands without a repercussion.
Like, what is the most vanilla band of all time? Oh, that will be our Mac Jones soundbite. But that's, like, depressing. I just want,
Air Supply.
Oh, there you go.
That's not bad.
Leo Sayer.
Oh, yeah. That's not
just
bad.
Anything. Oh, Christopher Cross.
You're just going down the Yacht Rock playlist right now.
Well, I mean, that was a bad time. That was a bad time in music.
Oh, Yacht Rock is not bad. I would argue that, matter of fact, the top of the list, and there's some bad ones, but the top of the Yacht Rock list is actually pretty good. Not even ironically. Like Brandy by Looking Glass, like that's a great, great song.
What song is that?
Brandy, you're a fine girl, such a good wife you would be. My life, my love, and my lady is the
sea. Oh, you know it.
You know it.
You do.
You know it. There's no question you know it. It's like if you grew up in a car, in the backseat of a car when we were kids, that song was constantly on.
My parents weren't big music people. They were WWJ radio. News time, 5:50.
That's what my parents listened to. I guarantee it, if you hear the guy's voice, you would go, oh, yeah. Because no one sounds like, I don't know,
because you're not a Doobie Brothers guy.
No, I like the Doobie Brothers. I'm not a huge fan, but, you know.
You've listened to them on Spotify?
I have a Yacht Rock playlist I listen to every summer, and I legitimately like it. It puts me in a good mood.
Yeah, I got a buddy of mine. Apparently, there's some touring group called the Yacht Rock Review. They were just in town. A friend of mine just went there. The place was sold out. A lot of people love this stuff.
They make a killing. But, I mean, like, you know, if you put on, like, Steal Away or something, I'm not going to turn it off. Come on and hold me. Mm-hmm. Just like you told me. I mean, come on.
No, I know that.
Yeah, you can't be in a bad mood. I mean, Brandy is. I can't believe you said you've never heard that one. I might be doing a bad job, you know, portraying what it sounds like.
I know Shine Sweet Freedom.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Michael McDonald.
That is not Yacht Rock, though. That is years past Yacht Rock, but it is Michael McDonald.
I keep forgetting.
And it is.
I keep forgetting is Yacht Rock. That's Michael McDonald.
Keep forgetting is not. No, it's not. What a Fool Believes is Yacht Rock. That's
Keep Forgetting is Regulate. So that's every time I hear that, it's just Regulate.
Oh, okay.
I've never heard this in my life.
Really?
Oh, come on.
Fred. I have not.
Oh, God.
You've never heard that song?
I've never heard that song.
Oh, that's, well, then you should actually listen to it. That is a great song. Not just a good song. That's a great song.
And that is a band called Looking Glass?
I think that might be their only hit. It might be. But I love the guy's voice because it's... I don't know what's down, spang, down,
spang. Well, he references sailors, so it is indeed.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, he was a
little Jimmy Buffett.
Oh, yeah. And like, I mean...
Well, I know this. Yeah.
That's, I mean, just
like you Steal Away, me. Sure.
This is like quintessential Yacht Rock.
This is what Zolak fires up on the open seas.
Again, I don't understand how a group of guys got together and said, with instruments, and said, let's make that song.
Yeah.
I mean, that is yacht rock. That is essential yacht rock.
I think I got the power.
Big political message here, though.
Is that what it is? I never really read into the lyrics of what
a fool
believes.
A fool believes that wise men got the power. Mm-hmm. So let's not put our faith in these false idols. Mm. You know what I'm saying? They're humans just like us. We had it all. I've never heard this.
Just like
was it Bernie Higgins?
That is straight from Solid Gold.
Yeah. See, that's not a great song. Although, that one I find funny, ironically. Like, I'm not going to turn it because, you know, that's ironic.
Well, you can't
funny.
Turn it because you're getting your teeth cleaned.
this is wheelhouse.
He just loved that Earl Campbell jersey, too. Have you ever seen him play this live on YouTube?
No, I haven't.
He's got this massive Earl Campbell jersey.
Really?
On. He's a big fella.
Randomly, for some reason, I was talking about him, and I pulled up a picture, and my wife was like, that is nothing like I thought he was going to look like.
No,
she thought he was
going to...
He's like a baby
Huey. He's like a big fella. He's like a big fella.
He is a big fella. Big bald, baby-faced fella.
I just think it's so funny because, like, you know, I was in bands when I was a kid. Nothing real. But, you know, getting together and trying to learn songs and stuff. And just, I can't imagine getting together with my friends and going, all right.
I think that was some Steely Dan sometimes. Like, I hear Steely Dan, and I'm like, why would you look at each other and say, this is good stuff? Like, it's your favorite foreign movie.
That's Peg, right?
Peg! Yeah.
We'll
Michael here. Donald. Yeah. Michael McDonald in that one, too.
Oh, of
that's
course.
Total yacht rock.
Yeah, because Donald Fagen, he... he was very, very dry.
Yep.
Some would say sinister in his lyrics.
maybe that was the case.
Oh, yeah, Kenny Loggins.
Pre-soundtrack, Kenny Loggins.
Yeah, one of the listeners tweeted me, he said, Heart to Heart by Kenny Loggins is perfect for Yacht Rock.
See, I don't even know. I don't think I know that one.
I don't know that one either. I'm a Loggins. If it's on a soundtrack, I know it.
Ah.
Anything that, like, if you put on Live from Red Rocks, Kenny Loggins, I'm not really following it. Because I take it that Kenny Loggins has played Red Rocks is the only thing that's... I take it that he is.
No! Yeah. No, I will not play that one. That one is... I refuse. That's not yacht rock. That's just depressoid 70s music.
Is that Dan Fogelberg?
Oh, yeah. But this blood runs through my instruments. This song is in my soul.
You actually have a button for that one?
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's in there.
Jesus.
It's under...
You've been on the air a long time.
Man.
Suck.
That's 17 years of... accumulating.
Okay.
There's something in there for everyone.
All right,
that's suckety suck, suck, suckety suck.
That just reminds me of when I bought my mom the Air Supply album for Christmas and she opened and started crying. And
that's the most depressing story ever, and I'm sorry. It just makes me...
Why, you don't care about me.
How old were you?
Oh boy, little, because I went to the mall with my grandmother to buy, and you just wanted to go to a record store. That's why you bought.
Was that before or after your father gave you the Weird Al album for your birthday?
No, the Weird Al album was like I was like in college or something.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, like the Weird Al album came out of nowhere.
Oh,
yeah, so all right.
That's a good song. Legit good song.
Yeah, Toto are not a yacht rock.
No. Well, this is a yacht rock song. That's a yacht rock song. I think you can throw that into that genre.
But they're not from the area where those dudes were all coming out.
Is there an area? I just thought it was just songs that were popular that kind of are easy breezy.
Well, Christopher Cross, I would imagine, is from Houston due to his love of Earl Campbell. But but the Dubs and the Logs and all them, they were like Monterey guys. All right, so.
I said to myself, when we're old. This is Crash Clark.
Yes. Little Riverman. No, is this a little
it's Little Riverman.
Yeah. Yeah. Bet your ass it is.
All right, we'll be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.